I've got mixed views on this. I'm sure, you know, Trump's intentions are good, but I'm more of the opinion that the U.S. should focus on making America great again rather than putting its nose in other people's problems.
I don't think CBDCs are going to roll out through the government. I think it's going to be piggybacked off of Tether or, you know, Circle, some stable coin. This is just going to break. I mean, if the government builds it, it's just not going to work.
Politics is dead. It's over. Your politicians are corrupt and they don't care. They're not representing the people who elected them.
This is not just applicable to Australia. Any tyrannical enforcements globally will face the same consequences.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Greer with me and Tony is back. Gents, let's jump right into the news. Up first, we have a media report says that a leaked document shows the U.S. wants to pull four countries, Italy, Poland, Hungary, and Austria, away from the EU as part of a Make Europe Great Again strategy. So it says, firstly, the move is connected with the monetary shift that Trump and his administration are pushing in the United States. And the rumor suggests that the Trump agenda is driven by a globalist versus anti-globalist narrative. Greer, I'd love to hear your opinion on this first.
Yeah, I think this is sort of the country that is, you know, sort of ruling the world, looking at a multipolar future, is trying its best to restart the game and reorganize the pieces. So if you're an American or if you're Trump, you're looking at this and saying, you know, we don't want to be beholden to other countries. We want to find new partners and new allies. And like the Post says, break up the globalists through the EU. So, this is kind of a very classic Trumpian wild card. You know, nobody was predicting this. And then here we go. The news gets leaked. And now we have the sides being drawn up. I think this also puts pressure on the U.S.'s current allies. And you might say they're Germany, France, the U.K. Trump is going to force everyone to pick a side here. And I think at the end of the day, this is about securing America's future and doing it in a way that was very unexpected. Overall, I think, you know, this could have some positive results. You know, I think the EU probably does need to be broken up, probably the worst decision that Europe had gone along with. And ultimately, we might see more individual sovereignty for these countries and their people. So, you know, a lot remains to be seen. But, you know, this is sort of a wild card that I don't think we expected.
I think it would be great if the EU dismantled. My only concern would be, I think Christine Lagarde would end up having to just drive Uber or deliver food for DoorDash or something like that. I don't know what she'd be qualified for. So there'd be an employment issue that we'd have to address. Tony, what do you think? You're a nomad, but you spend some time in Europe.
Listen, I love Europe, but not in the current state that it's in. I've got mixed views on this. I'm sure, you know, Trump's intentions are good when it comes to, you know, announcements like this. But I'm more of the opinion that the U.S. should focus on making America great again rather than putting its nose in other people's problems. The EU is going to fall apart on its own. I mean, we're already seeing it happen. This is like a criminal organization, the worst of the worst, the scum of the earth. You know, that's the EU. And there's a lot of European countries that are seeing this and are just telling them that they're out by themselves. They don't need any, external political influence to push that matter further. I think it'll happen organically. I think it's best if it does happen organically. The U.S. has a history of, you know, poking its nose where it doesn't belong and, you know, doesn't always go the way they hoped. You know, just go back in history and, you know, there's a lot of, you know, proof around that. So the EU should fall apart. I think it will in under 5 years. I've been saying this forever. But to have the U.S. really, like, politically get involved in this, in my personal opinion, I don't think that's the way to go forward.
Okay, so Tony, I was going to ask. So you think in the next 5 years the European Union falls apart? I want anyone listening to chime in the comments. Tell us what you think. Greer, do you think the European Union is going to be dissolved here? Do you have a time frame for that, or do you think it's going to happen?
I think it's inevitable. You know, we're watching the EU lose power, and I think, you know, Trump is putting pressure on them to really figure it out or get out of the way. And I think that what's better is when countries have individual sovereignty. I think the cultural the cultural instincts that each country has, that background, should be celebrated. And, you know, the EU turns your national identity into a giant soup, and we lose the distinction between one country and the next. So I agree with Tony. I think it's inevitable. And I also agree America really should be looking inward. But at the same time, it's hard to predict what our president will do. So entertaining as always, maybe.
Yeah. So my prediction is Christine Lagarde's talked about a digital euro rolling out across the board by 2029. My prediction is the EU dissolves in some material form or fashion before that date that the digital euro rolls out. So we'll see, just a few years away. All righty, guys, up next, tourists visiting the U.S. will have to submit 5 years of their social media history under a new proposal. The good thing is the Brits, they can get in because if they don't have a squeaky clean social media history, you know, they're in prison anyway, so they're going to be allowed to come to the U.S. Everyone else, though, I don't know. Tony, dangerous, funny, what's your reaction to this?
Man, the mere fact that you have, you know, sick people considering things like this should terrify you. If this goes through, I can assure you, you won't see a single person from the outside visiting the U.S. It'll be the new Sahara Desert. I don't think it'll pass. I mean, I'm praying it doesn't, because this is absolutely ludicrous. No rational human being will ever set foot on U.S. soil ever again with something as stupid as this.
We can't even, like, you guys see my podcast with Ryan Matta. We can't even track kids coming across the border and where they end up. Like, how the hell are we going to review? I mean, even with AI, how are we going to know that what they've produced is actually their 5 years of history? I mean, it's just pure insanity. If I had a hotel in a tourist town, I would be selling it and smash buying Bitcoin as quickly as I could. Greer.
Yeah, this also, I think, is repugnant. I don't think anyone should be held to, you know, their entire social media history being scrutinized. I also agree this will prevent tourism, which is a huge driver in certain cities around the U.S. I also think that, you know, it's so easy to flip the switch. And instead of just having it be external tourists, having it face internal. And in order to do something the government wants you to do, you've got to submit this as a U.S. citizen. So, you know, this to me is just, you know, absolute government overreach. And, you know, I think it's a proposal, and hopefully there's enough criticism and it's loud enough that the administration sort of shrinks away like a dog with a tail between its legs.
Yeah, I don't even think I've been on social media for 5 years yet. And I can assure you, though, if other countries start implementing this sort of thing, I would not be allowed at this point. And I blame Tony for that. Alrighty, the U.S. House passes a sweeping $900 billion military spending bill, according to the Associated Press. I thought we had reported on this like a year ago, maybe, that they'd passed $1 trillion, or when Pete Hegseth took over, they were talking about $1 trillion military spending bill. Either way, you know, we're talking, small differences. Greer, what do you think?
Just absolutely crazy. You know, we complain about the economy all the time. It's the spending, stupid. You know, stop spending money that we don't have, borrowing from future generations. You know, this is just shows you that, you know, politics is dead. It's over. Your politicians are corrupt and they don't care. What they care about are their own interests, and they're not representing the people who elected them. And, you know, to me, this is, you just kind of throw up your hands and say, you know, this is awful. You know, even throwing the bums out, you know, will only bring in a new crop of bums that mimic this behavior.
Yeah. George Washington was very adamant that, and spoke about it often, that future generations should never be saddled with the debt of previous generations, that each generation should be paying off its own debt. It should be kept small. And if we just paid any attention to the founding fathers that we supposedly respect, we would take note and take action. But of course, that's not very convenient for the people who want to spend and feed their friends in the military industrial complex. Tony, what do you think about this?
Inevitable, man. The money printer is going to get worse, you know, day by day. And this is just another example of it. you can't stop this. You know, when the system is failing, you're going to expect things you will never imagine, you know, until you live through an experience like this. And so why stop at 900 billion? You know, whether it's 900 billion or 3 trillion, the result is the same. Your purchasing power will be depleted. And this is how, you know, they will send you to zero or, you know, force you into, you know, their upcoming central bank digital currency known as your stablecoin.
Yep, I completely agree. All righty. Okay, clown world, here we go. President Trump is considering eliminating taxes on gambling winnings. And actually, you know, I'm going to read these two together because, Greer, you had an interesting comment on this. Trump is also reportedly set to reclassify marijuana as a Schedule 3 substance. What is your take on the combination of these two stories?
Yeah, it's just nonstop degeneracy. You know, gambling is a very serious problem that destroys families and ruins lives. And at the time, the economic situation we're in now, it's often the only hope that people have to make a buck, you know, and so they're wagering more than they're able to on NFL games or just random events that can be monitored on Kalshi or Polymarket or other apps. And, you know, the fact that they're making marijuana like less of a stigma just shows you that they really just want you addicted and completely high. They want you to drop out. And, you know, I'm not one to say that you shouldn't, you can live your life however you want, but I don't think that either of these things will promote your health, your well-being. They won't help you become the man that you were trying to be. And I think that as our kids are growing up in a world where, you know, where all of this is legal, it kind of makes me think of, you know, Back to the Future 2, the worst of the three movies where, you know, everything was a casino and it wasn't good for society. And this is just us spiraling out of control. And, you know, if everyone's stoned, then maybe they won't care as much about what the government's doing. To me, this is, you know, this is just their way of making their life easier and our lives worse.
Yeah, I agree. I think my issue with this, I don't smoke and I don't gamble. So like it's easy for me to sort of ignore this. What bothers me more is the signal it sends. Like, I don't even think the government should be regulating marijuana or gambling. But if you want to fix those as issues, what you do is you start with fixing the money, fixing the incentives, you eliminate the welfare state, like you do actual real world things that change the way people have to operate. And then you don't have the luxury of going to gamble. You don't have the time to go smoke pot because you've got other things to be doing. Otherwise, you're going to sink. There's no safety net. And to me, it's like this is just a bad signal to be sending in a world that's already degenerating into chaos. Tony, what's your take?
I see this very differently, man. For me, this confirms everything, you know, that I've been saying, that you are, you know, heading towards something extremely dangerous. This is the end. And when you start, you know, legalizing, you know, complete mayhem, to me, it's a distraction to keep people from turning violent and rioting. If they're stoned and, you know, addicted to hoping to make their lives easier through gambling, then they're not going to fight back, right? Or at least some of them. Hopefully, a lot of them will not resort to other more extreme ways to voice their discontent. So all of these signs to me signal something very bad about to break. So I wouldn't be happy about this. In fact, I'd be very terrified if you're still, you know, dependent on the system. Opt out, Bitcoin self-custody. If you can afford it, leave to better jurisdictions. This is looking very, very dire.
I agree. By the way, Greer, I'm seeing like 95%+ of the ads on Twitter are for like FanDuel's or like different sports betting sites. Is that just me?
That's you, man. You must be a closeted gambler. And obviously I'm kidding, but you know, those are so popular. And if you just ask anybody, you know, they can make money just by picking the obvious winner. And I'm not saying that as an encouragement to test it out and do it. I think, you know, gambling is not the way that you make a buck. You know, the signal here, like we're talking about, you know, you don't want the government enabling this behavior or putting its stamp of approval on it. And we've kind of missed the big point here is that the government shouldn't be, you know, putting capital gains taxes on anything, gambling or investments or Bitcoin. You know, you as the holder of those things, you took the risk and they should not be taking their slice of the risk that you took to get that. So I think the bigger issue is, you know, why do we have this capital gains tax anyway?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Taxation is theft. Inflation is slavery. Alrighty, guys, Do Kwon is getting 15 years in prison for his $40 billion Terraform fraud. This feels like, when was this? This was 2022?
The end of 21.
Is he the one who was caught with the ledger in his butt?
Yes.
Is that at airport security? Okay.
So I don't remember I don't remember the brand, but it was, that's where they found it.
Well, it's probably a shitcoin brand. Greer, what's your take on this? Deserved? Do you care?
A lot of people got hurt. A lot of people got hurt with this one. You know, they were looking at Luna and what he offered as sort of being the algorithmic stablecoin that could really help people and redefine markets in the whole crypto space. And I think, you know, this is tough. This is from a long string of these exchanges that went under. You know, Celsius was one of them. Of course, everyone, we talk about FTX, BlockFi. And I think that, you know, these are tough lessons for people to learn, especially during that crypto run-up when everyone was so excited and FOMOing into whatever coin. I can't comment on the punishment, but I can tell you that many people were hurt by this. I think Bitcoin in some ways was also hindered by this. Of course, Bitcoin doesn't care, but it was just a painful lesson for anyone who didn't have Bitcoin in self-custody.
Yeah, the optics are always bad because so many people conflate Bitcoin with crypto. And so it's, I never really dug into the fraud, but I do know a lot of people were hurt. I imagine that this is probably, seems about right. Tony, do you have any perspective on this?
Yeah, man, I got mixed feelings about this. I mean, sure, yeah, it was a massive catastrophe, this Terra Luna, but, you know, there were also many other massive catastrophes, but none of these people went to jail. Maybe this is just to set an example, but if, you know, if you really want to be fair across the board, then anyone dabbling in crypto where people have been rug pulled should also be given the same sentence. Like, you remember there's FTX, there's the Hawktua girl, there's hundreds of thousands of similar cases, and nobody talks about them. So, I mean, I understand why the punishment is there. I just don't like that it's isolated and they're trying to make an example of one person, you know, at the expense of everybody else. I don't know if he intentionally trying to defraud people. I do remember the Terra Luna project. It ran really well while it was working. It just seems to me that this is a project that just wasn't mature and was attacked and failed, right? Again, this is just my own personal opinion. Whether I'm right or wrong doesn't change the fact that a lot of people got hurt. And what's bad about this specific case is that a lot of people lost their lives, unfortunately. They took their own lives because, you know, they had put everything and everything was gone. So very, very bad memories about, you know, that time. But it's just, you know, it's a lesson to be learned there. If there's a group of people behind it, whether it's a company, whether it's VCs, whether it's whatever it is, all crypto is worth nothing, is going to zero. The only one worth holding and saving in is Bitcoin, and only when it's in self-custody. Everything else will end up the exact same way, going to zero.
Yeah. If for anyone listening, if you happen to know a good tattoo removal specialist, reach out to Mike Novogratz. He probably needs some help. Okay. Up next, we've got Representative Keith Self. CBDCs are already being built in secret under our noses. And he refers to this Project Hamilton, this effort between the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston and MIT, creating an open source code that processes almost 2 million transactions per second, fast enough to track every dollar you spend in real time. This is programmable money, surveillance, expiration date, social credit, total control. It's not coming. It's here. Demand Congress ban CBDCs permanently. Tony, you've been warning about this for a long time. My base case, by the way, is still that I don't think CBDCs are going to roll out through the government. I think it's going to be piggybacked off of Tether or, you know, Circle, some stable coin that already has sufficient market share, already has tech that they know work, because this is just going to break. I mean, if the government builds it, it's just not going to work. Tony, what do you think about this?
100% agree. They're already here. They're your stable coins. So anyone who thinks, you know, they're the coolest thing under the sky are sadly mistaken. They just work while they work until the day they become weaponized. And that's like literally a switch away. So they will never come out and, you know, push out their own, you know, U.S. government branded CBDC. But a stable coin like Tether that obeys all orders to the T is no different. So they'll say it wasn't us, it was them. But, you know, who pulls the string in the background? That's where you always should be looking. Use stable coins for like the limited purpose that you need it for. But if you're saving your funds in there, you are headed to a digital prison, my friend. Opt out. Again, it's Bitcoin and Bitcoin only in full self-custody. Avoid this nonsense.
Yes. Greer, what would you add to that?
Yeah, I think you guys are right. The stable coins, the CBDCs, they're here. They just haven't figured out the marketing part. And once they do, you know, we're just talking about a logo change on a website. So, you know, I there's no way to avoid this. It's inevitable. There's too much power. There's too much control. I only see Bitcoin as the way out of this. And, you know, being an American, I think it's difficult to take a position on stable coins all up because they do help people in developing countries, in the third world, the global south. That is the only way to escape a failing local currency. So I think that it's really hard to just rubber stamp this and say, you know, it's black and white, because the gray area is where people do find some relief in a stable coin. But, you know, in the US, you know, we're just, like you said, we're just one button away from having your bank account flipped to a digital currency that can be controlled and stopped and permissioned and everything else. So, you know, I think the bright spot is watching Square unlock Bitcoin payments for 4 million merchants around the United States. And I think that's what the future is. It's regular people choosing to adopt and transact in Bitcoin, saving in Bitcoin, and becoming familiar with it. If you have a choice between using a government Fed token or Bitcoin, believe me, you're going to want to store and save the Bitcoin, and you'll want to spend the government token as quickly as possible, even if you're forced to accept it through your employer. So I think the most important thing is just, you know, sort of see what's happening right now. This is the reality, and there's no way that Congress will be able to prevent this from happening. You know, we can see what they're focused on, and it's really just spending money and lining their pockets. So there will be an incentive for Congress to make this happen, no matter what the people say about it.
Definitely. All righty. Up next. So this Lisa N. Edwards says that Elon just killed crypto Twitter and your account is collateral damage. And she goes on to talk about how basically after the December 25 algorithm update, anything that smells like crypto is getting quietly throttled into oblivion. Fewer likes and replies, less visibility overall. I think suddenly all the Bitcoiners are pro censorship because this is a nice little early Christmas present. I haven't noticed anything different about my feed except for all the gambling ads. But Tony, what do you think about this?
Well, if this is true, it looks like Elon is clearing out the spam in the space. Maybe that's his Bitcoin signal, you know, like covertly by eliminating all the shitcoinery that's going on out there. I haven't noticed it either. If it's going on, I mean, I guess it's good for, you know, the cleaning up the space. I'm not pro-censorship by any stretch, so I can't confirm if this is really true or not. But, you know, if people are complaining, I guess there must be some element of truth to it.
Yeah, I'd be curious for anyone listening, have you noticed this on X? Because I haven't seen anything, but I also now I'll probably be more, you know, a little more attuned to what's going on. Greer, what's your take?
I've built my echo chamber on X, and I still get the, you know, the 5 or 10 likes on most posts. So I'm probably already throttled, but not for talking about crypto, of course. But I think the bigger picture here, if we zoom out, is that Elon is determining what's relevant. And so even if you think it's great that he's blocking the spammers or hiding the spammers, you know, I think the real lesson is that we are learning what the algorithms find valuable. And when we do that, we are now bending our will, bending our speech, catering to what someone else has programmed to be appropriate, important, valuable. And to me, that's the signal here. It's that we're slowly being trained to understand what's acceptable, what we'll be rewarded for. And I don't like that. I think, you know, this is a great time to start putting more energy into primal, where I can post and I can get zapped for if someone likes my comment. And, you know, there's not many people there, or a few million people that are only using it. But I think that the future should be one that's decentralized, where your voice isn't silenced because of your opinions. And I think the free market, you know, really works on my feed because I've filtered out the crypto bros. I don't see that anyway. So I don't really need Elon to help me. But I also think that we should be able to speak and write in the way that we think is best. And, I see that kind of being diminished here. And I wonder about the implications over time.
All righty, guys, up last. So we have talked a lot about everything in Australia, but especially this age verification requirement for accessing social media. And we just have to end on a laugh. So Labor social media ban suffered an embarrassing blow on the first day as teenagers bragged about breezing past the new age verification rules. There's first of all, like I said earlier, if the government builds it, it's not going to work right. So that kind of goes without saying. However, they're, you know, going to be in bed with big tech trying to team up on this and, you know, find solutions to this problem that they now have. But good for these kids. Greer, what's your take on this?
Yeah, you love to see the government sort of fall down the stairs when anything comes out for the first time. And it looked like, you know, about 100,000 Australian kids YOLO'd into an app called Yope as a way to get away from this, which, you know, I think that's cool. And it's a lesson that, you know, life will find a way. And I don't think that a top-down government approach, no matter how good the intentions are, ever provide the results that people want. I saw that Reddit filed the first injunction against this. And so it looks like, there is some pushback, which is surprising because we think that the tech platforms would love to have digital identity from all of their users. But I think that, you know, those type of signals make a strong case. You know, Reddit is one of the top resources for AI. AI sucks in all of that content to deliver results. So, you know, I think that this is an opportunity for people to learn about. I mentioned Primal a minute ago, Noster, decentralized communications. I think when you exercise those rights to freedom, it empowers you. So I'm hoping that the apps that allow you to avoid this scrutiny start to take hold. And of course, this goes back to the parents. The parents are responsible for what their kids are doing online, how much time they're spending, what apps they're accessing. And if you are a parent, you do have all the tools to set that up in a way that you feel is correct. So, you know, the power should not be with the government. It should be with the parents making decisions over what their kids are doing.
Yeah. Now, be careful what you wish for, because I'm not sure I want to get on Noster and have a bunch of 15-year-old Australian, desperate Australian kids, you know, talking about whoever they're talking about these days. I'm too old for that. Tony.
Yeah, this is great, man. I love reading posts like this, because that's exactly how you put an end to this nonsense, is by mocking it, you know, and always making fun of it so that it becomes useless and irrelevant. The idiots who try to push this thinking they're going to succeed are just that, idiots, because there's way more incentives to bypass them and way more intelligent people with the skill set and intellect to do so than they will ever be able to put out. This reminds me back in the days of the torrents, you know, when they first came out, they went after, you know, the grandmothers and the grandfathers and the, 9 years old for music sharing and, you know, stuff of that sort, thinking they killed the industry. And all they did was push the development of tools that they can never, ever stop and that still exist and are still fully utilized to this day. When the piracy is still at like 80 or 90% levels. Back in the day, it was the Pirate Bay. You know, they would shut down one server and the thing would pop up like a weed in 17 different places 2 days later. This post reminds me of exactly that. The more they try to, you know, enforce this garbage, the more the pushback is going to happen, as it should, because these lunatics have to understand that they are not gods. They are not put on this planet to dictate how people live their lives. Parents are responsible for their kids. They can take care of their own children. If they don't want them to be on social media, deal with your own kids. You leave my kids alone. And if you try to go after them, well, then you're going to, you know, feel the full force of my pushback. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who echoes this sentiment, as clearly seen by posts like this. So this is not just applicable to Australia. Any tyrannical enforcements globally will face the same consequences. And the most peaceful way to do it exactly is this: to mock it, to laugh at it, to let them know that you guys are useless and worthless clowns, and none of your dystopian bullshit is going to be tolerated or accepted by those that have a clue.
Well said. Civil disobedience for the win. Alrighty, guys. Thank you guys for being here. For everyone who tuned in, we really appreciate you joining us. Stick around for another minute to learn a bit about the Bitcoin way, and we will see you next week. Guys, great chat. Look forward to catching up again soon.
Thank you.
It's been great, guys.
Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.